It's Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGNR. It is the first Monday in October. That means Supreme Court Art Ward is with us from Northern Illinois University, a professor of political science. He's sort of our Supreme Court go-to guy. Art, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Yes, first day of the term.
Okay, so on days like this, right, this is when you go back and watch the 1981 film with Walter Matthau and Jill Clayburgh?
Oh, yeah. I'm watching all the old Supreme Court movies now. Pelican Brief, you name it.
The first Monday in October, that's the first time I heard that phrase. That movie's 40 years old.
Yeah, it's amazing. And we always think of the first Monday in October. But, of course, as we know, the justices still work during the summer issuing rulings.
Well, right? And it seems like this summer more than most. Am I wrong in that?
Well, you know, it's funny, just the Texas case was so high profile that, and there were some other things, right, involving the Biden administration that they were so high profile, I think, but the justices always, you know, issue emergency orders over the summer. So I just think the nature of the cases is what's getting everybody so, you know, up in arms over these, summer rulings, if you will.
Art Ward is talking with us from Northern Illinois University. Okay, before we go to what might be on the docket this year, what is on the docket, clean up the Texas story for me a little bit, because explain for us the fact that the Supreme Court refused to take up the case, but that does not mean that the Supreme Court might not one day soon strike it down.
That's right. They ruled procedurally, and what they're doing is they're basically saying, you know, the law hasn't gone into effect yet. Let's go ahead and let the law go into effect, and then let's see if somebody brings a lawsuit, and then we'll consider whether to hear the case. You know, so what they ruled on in the summer was just, should we stop the law from even going into effect? And that's a much harder bar to meet, you know, for those who want to challenge laws. And so the justices are just sort of hedging, I think, by waiting. But of course, the trick with this case is it's a civil penalty, right? And so who's, you know, going to get to have the standing to bring a lawsuit? We already have a couple people trying to do that, but they're from out of state. Are they actually harmed by this decision? That's what the justices would have to decide if somebody were to get a case all the way to the Supreme Court. So would those people actually have standing?
Can we read into that up or down that the court might or might not eventually find it constitutional, or is there nothing there at all?
I think it's hard to read it up or down. I think a lot of people want to say that this suggests that they want to uphold that law. But really, the law is just designed to put a chilling effect on abortion in terms of the procedure, because it should involve, you know, everyone should be scared to perform the procedure or aid people who want to perform the procedure, because then you could be subject to a civil lawsuit, right, for money damages. And so it's really just an attempt to try to chill the abortion procedure. And you know, whether that happens and who's harmed by that, and whether they'll have standing to bring the case, that's something the court, you know, isn't probably going to even decide this term, and it would be the term after, if it would even get to the court.
We're talking to Art Ward, a professor at NIU, but there is a Roe versus Wade challenge, right, that the court will hear, this Mississippi law. I think the court's scheduled to hear it in December.
The Dobbs case, December 1st, and that is the abortion case that will be getting much of the attention, all the attention, certainly this term. And even though they're hearing it in December 1st, they weren't going to issue a ruling until late in the spring, you know, early summer, you know, June, late June, something like that. So we'll see what happens at oral argument. But this is the Mississippi law bans abortion after 15 weeks. And, you know, the current law in this country under Planned Parenthood versus Casey and Roe versus Wade is that abortions are legal prior to viability. And so that's 23, 24 weeks. So here's a law that cuts the time down to 15. It would seem unconstitutional on its face. And so this is where the justices are being asked to explicitly overrule Roe and Casey, and that viability provision allow states to ban abortion prior to viability. That's the question.
We should note the two federal courts, lower courts, have already put a stay on this one. So they might be fighting uphill. We'll see what happens when it gets to the full Supreme Court. Okay, let's talk concealed carry in New York. You know, Illinois is a concealed carry state, and I guess all of 50 states are, correct? But in New York, they have a little more stringent requirements, and that's under constitutional challenge?
That's really the question is, can a state decide, you know, do you have the right, an individual right to conceal and carry that no state can infringe? And right now, the states regulate that, and that's what New York is doing in this case. They have a standard called proper cause. In other words, you apply for the concealed and carry permit, and then the state decides whether you have a proper cause to do so. So not just anyone can get it, and these are a couple of people who didn't get it, and so they're saying, hey, I have a Second Amendment right to have it. I don't need a proper cause. Any citizen can have it. And if the court rules in their favor, then it would be an extension of their 2003 decision or 2008 decision in the D.C. versus Heller case, which established the individual right to have a gun for self-defense. But the court said in that decision only in the home. And so now this would be outside the home. It would be furthering the D.C. versus Heller decision, an extension of it.
We're talking to Ard Ward, a PhD, an NIU professor, about the opening of the Supreme Court session now, and some of a number of cases expected to come before the court in the coming months. Also, this case out of Texas where a man's execution actually was put off because he wanted his spiritual leader to be able to, quote unquote, put hands upon him to ease his passage into the next chapter of his being or existence. Supreme Court says that you can have a spiritual advisor there, has to be in the corner. That's been challenged. His execution is on hold. That case comes up, well, I guess it comes up in just a few weeks.
This is a really interesting case because we know the conservative justices are predisposed to rule in favor of religious liberty, but they're also very strongly in favor of the death penalty and generally don't rule in favor of those accused, of crimes and so forth. And so this would seemingly potentially be a contradictory type case for them. But yes, the petitioner in this case says he wants hands on, and he also wants to be able to pray with his clergy at the moment of execution, and that hasn't been allowed either. So the court will decide on that issue this term, and it'll be the oral argument on that one is coming up on November 1st, I think.
It's an interesting clash of cultures, I think, in Texas, right? You've got the tough on crime culture, certainly, but also the religious right sort of going at each other here.
That's what makes it such a fascinating case. And so one wonders if we'll have a sort of mixed coalition here, right, where some justices more leaning on the rights of the accused and the religious liberty side and some leaning more on the side of the state. So it'll be interesting.
So is this like opening day for you, Ard Ward?
Yeah, it's a big deal. And also, of course, because it's, not post-pandemic, but certainly we're still in the pandemic, but the justices are back on the bench, right? And so now they're back in the courtroom operating collectively as a group very differently than they were doing from home. And so will be interesting to see whether that has an effect on their decision-making, too.
We likely won't hear a toilet flush during arguments as we did last year.
No, but it'll be great to see the justices on the bench, though they're not allowing the public in there yet, but we'll have the sketch artist there that will show us what it looks like, so that's as good as it gets for us.
It's the first full session, I think, with Amy Coney Barrett, and, a lot's been made of the political makeup of the court, and yet it seems like I've noticed more often than not in the past few months, Justice Breyer's certainly one of them, maybe Alito, too, have been out there trying to say, well, we see the law differently, but it's not a political institution. Are they concerned about their reputation?
Absolutely, and more so now than maybe in 100 years. I mean, the court is absolutely under assault. And they know that, all nine of them from both the left and the right, and all of them want to protect that institution. They don't want to see the court expanded. They don't want to see term limits put in place. They want to keep the status quo as best they can. And so that's why you're seeing a kind of united front with justices from the left and the right saying, hey, we're not partisans. This is a sort of preemptive strike against those that would call for term limits and court packing.
I don't know why I was surprised, but I was a little surprised to read that Clarence Thomas is the longest serving justice.
He was very young when he was appointed back by George H.W. Bush in 1990, and I think he was 43 at the time. He said, I'm going to serve 43 years. So this is a guy who because of the contentious confirmation hearing, said, I'm going to be on the court for the rest of your lives, and to stick it to you kind of thing. And so, yeah, he's been there a long time. I mean, he'll still be there a long time to come.
NIU Professor of Political Science and Faculty Associate Ard Ward. Always great to talk to you, Ard. Thanks very much.
No problem, Steve. Good to talk to you.
It's Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. We're going to make our way into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Chicago's